Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 19, Talbert Gretchen, Origins, 3. It was a weekend. They had spent the day hidden away at the same spot on the roof from where they had watched the fireworks. They had come to think of it as their spot. They had brought books with them, as the plan had been to study. Instead, the day had been a blur of conversation and kisses. They were at that all too brief stage of life where simply trading kisses was all the excitement needed. The sun was beginning to sink, and they were taking a break to sit and watch the sky go through its dance of colors before it faded into darkness. The shades of orange and red at the horizon were beginning to grow, and even though the sky was mostly blue, they could see the first few twinkling stars and the chalked-in circle of the moon. "It's just like anything else. You have to know what you're doing and pay attention to the details. But yes, the evidence is there." Daniela was used to the skepticism that came about when she told others about her project. "But they're dead." He was leaning against a brick chimney that was jutting out of the roof, and she was leaning against his chest. He could feel the heat coming off the sun-warmed bricks, and on one side, and the warmth of her on the other. He was happy, and his eyes kept drifting shut as they talked. "Well, yeah, but what do you think happens when you die? Mary comes around and digs you up for parts?" She gave him a gentle slap to the legs. "Not your body. The thing that makes you, you, your soul, spirit. What about that?" He thought of his parents and of their talks about the bowl, God under the waves. "When I was young, I was told that when we die, we slip free of our bodies and sink into the currents below that takes us to the kingdom of bowl. We get measured, and bowl decides if we should stay in his kingdom or come back to land. He sends up the souls to join with new babies so they can be born. The birthing water is from the moment the soul joins the bodies and sheds the water that had soaked into the spirit. Do you believe that?" "I think I did when I was little. Now, I don't know. I don't even know if my parents believe it. Sometimes I think they only told me that because their parents told them the same story." They were both quiet for a while. The orange and red had taken over most of the sky, but it was being invaded on all sides by a deep purple. More stars had come out of hiding and were glowing merrily. "And you're probably going to prove the existence of souls?" "Maybe, probably not. At least, not the soul part. But I think I can prove that there is an intelligent energy out there. I'm just guessing that this energy is what we mean when we say souls." "And you're going to do this with drawings?" "Why not? Sigils and runes have long been a way of calling on magical forces. Some magi have theorized that magic is just another of the primal energies out there. If certain imagery can summon magical energy, why can't other imagery be used to summon and perhaps communicate with spiritual energy?" Talbert didn't know what to say. The islands he hailed from had a fair share of men and women who claimed to be shamans that could communicate with other worlds and the unseen realms. Most were greedy and just trying to cash in on traditions of supporting shamans with offerings of food and coin. Some were just crazy. Very few seemed genuine, but even among those who were genuine, they were often also greedy or crazy, sometimes both. It could be hard to tell who was what, and the excuse of spirits being fickle was ever present. In short, Talbert was skeptical about what he could not see and could not experience. Danielle sat up. "Let's go in. It's starting to get cold." He felt he had been quiet too long and given offense. It's not that I don't believe you can do it. I just..." She cut him off with a quick peck on the lips. They were standing now, and he had to look slightly up at her. "Next week you will come to my project room, and I will show you what I have so far accomplished. It might not make a believer out of you, but I guarantee it will give you something to think about." They were winding their way down the staircase, Daniela leading the way. "So, have you thought about what you want to do for your project?" "I'm thinking about a few things, but I haven't decided yet." Her laughter echoed off the stairwell walls. how did I know that you were going to be the secretive type? That's not it. I'm not being secretive. Not really. I just want to do some more study before I talk about this with anyone. You know, I don't know if this is something I can do or even if it's worth doing. It might not even be allowed. Why wouldn't it be? She looked at him, suddenly serious. You aren't making a weapon, are you? No, at least not intentionally. It has to do with propulsion, and it does share some crossover elements, but Instructor Hill assures me that there are myriad applications that can benefit. Relax, Tal. You don't need to get worked up. I know that whatever it is you are working on, your heart is in the right place. Just be sure you don't equate doable with worth doing. There was one more door to go through before they could expect to run into other students. So far, they had kept their romance a secret. They hadn't discussed it yet. It just felt natural to keep it as such. It was something that only they knew. And when they were surrounded by students hunting all forms of knowledge, even a small secret felt precious. Daniela's hand was resting on the doorknob. There was just one more thing to take care of. The last kiss before re-entering the world was always the sweetest. There was an uncertainty about when they would be able to sneak off together again. It could be tomorrow. It could be more than a week from now. Even if they did have soft plans to meet at her project room. The kiss was slow to finish. When it did, she gave the doorknob a twist, and they were back to the world they shared with the other students of the study. They could already hear the noise and energy coming from the common room. Loud conversations about interpretations of and responses to historical events, a word recitation of various mathematical formulas, vocabulary practice of at least 3 different languages. This was the busy world of the study, and if anyone learned of their relationship, soon everyone would know. They gave each other a parting, longing look and went their separate ways. Talbert continued down the stairs until no sound of the joyous voices could be heard. He had given thought to his project and was indeed not ready to discuss it with anyone. He did not want to put himself in a position where those around him would see him at a loss for answers. Until he knew what he intended to do was something he could do, he would keep it secret. He had been inspired by the fireworks. The dazzling colors, the beauty of them were a part of it, but not his main attraction. It had also been the power of them. They had flown far and fast and with considerable effect. From their rooftop view, he had not only a great view of the bursts of light, but also of their source. It was mostly simple launching tubes. They had served the purpose, of course. The fireworks merely needed to travel up. But there was potential for more control, leading to far more accuracy. Of course, knowing potential exists is not the same as unlocking it. He would need to read enormous amounts just to get the proper idea of what he truly needed to read. He had the time. As Daniela had said, no one expected him to declare a project within his first month.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at deadlytroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook by searching for the page Deadly Troubadours. This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour. Once again, thanks for listening. If you are enjoying the book, please share it with your friends. And please tune in next week for the continuing adventures of the Deadly Troubadours.